This episode of the Mr. Television Face Show is brought to you by clams. Isn't it time you put a clam in your mouth? Go to your local clam market and dive in today.
Welcome to the Mr. Television Face Show with your guests from Stuff Like That podcast, Pause Man, writer and creator of Adventures of Arrow Girl, Dwayne Feenstra, and your host, Doc Lux, me. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's very nice to be here. Gentlemen, thank you for being the next guest contestants on what is the second episode of the Mr. Television Face Show.
I'm definitely glad to be here. I'm not used to performing in front of a studio audience, so this is going to be interesting.
They have to leave right after the intro because we believe that too many game shows, they have live studio audiences and it just confuses the contestants. And they're always shouting out different prices and suggestions and stuff like that. I don't believe in that. I was
totally going to rely on them for all my answers. I'm screwed.
Well, I mean, hopefully that's not the case. But you're going to be going head to head to Pause Man here. How are you doing in Toronto, sir?
Oh, it's getting chilly up here. Did you know it's already Thanksgiving in Canada?
My God.
You guys are in the future. Wow.
So you guys have like turkey and stuff, or like in October?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess you aren't going to celebrate something that occurred on American soil, but you call it Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
You looked at America and you were like, "Hey, I like what they're doing over there with the corn and the gravy and the turkey and stuff, and we want to do that."
I think we came first, and then it took you guys about a month to get it together.
Oh, okay.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, well, what about Halloween? Halloween is pretty much standard, right?
Yep, October 31st.
October 31st, it's coming up. This is my favorite month in the entire year. I love Halloween. I just love I love the fall. It's you know, everything about it is great. And just watching spooky movies, marathoning some horror flicks. Because Wes Craven passed away recently, we've been watching some Nightmare on Elm Street. But none of my friends allowed me to put in Freddy's Revenge. They're like, "No, we are skipping that movie entirely." In any case, again, very happy that you guys could be. I mean, you're making history right now. This show, there's no telling how big it's going to get. But we're talking about a show that is part talk show, part game show, and perhaps an emphasis on the game show part, which is the funnest. I know that's not a word. So more fun for those of you who are grammar Nazis, all right? Before we get into any of the game show segments, we're going to pluck some headlines from the news. And in this case, one headline, because this segment's called Urgent News. Oh, what's going on that's so awful that it requires ominous music like that? Well, This is a little article coming out of New York Comic Con 2015 that's happening right now. People are enjoying it. Not me, but friends of the show are. I'm almost certain that Juan Dejo from Super Podcasto and guest testing from the first episode of this show is there, if I'm not mistaken. This guy goes to a lot of cons, and I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's got to be older than me. He denies it, but I don't believe him. Anyway, here's the article. Mr. Rich Johnston from Bleeding Cool should probably mention that. This is his words. At New York Comic Con, it was announced that Marvel Studios would change the schedules of their first black solo lead and female solo lead films, Black Panther and Captain Marvel, to accommodate a new project, Ant-Man and the Wasp. This seems like the first public sign of the new Marvel Studios, divorced from the rest of Marvel and reporting directly to Disney as part of a coup by Marvel movie boss Kevin Feige against Marvel CEO Isaac Perlmutter. The status of the planned Inhumans movie remained unchanged, however, publicly at least. In the New York bars last night, I heard from other well-connected sources that the second shoe dropping will be the move of the planned Inhumans movie off the slate completely. That was the film most pushed for by the Marvel TV side, which still reports to Perlmutter, and which Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has committed to providing 3 years' worth of promotion towards its storylines, establishing the Inhumans concept to the fans. Until that point, the TV was mostly an afterthought, having to catch up to the film continuity rather than provide anything for the films to use.
I don't know. Again, I don't get the Inhumans in TV, comic, or movie form. Is there this great groundswell of Inhuman fans that I don't see online on Twitter and Facebook? Because they seem to get pushed more than anybody else, and I've never met anyone other than that Inhumans Marvel Knights thing that came out like 10 years ago that can tell me a great Inhuman story. I'm more surprised that they actually moved the Captain Marvel movie, because they got so much good pub for having that on their docket of things and then moving it back. That's just, it seems weird. I don't know why they have to move. Why not just make those other movies later? Is there such a high demand for Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Well, look, that movie was very popular, and most people seem to enjoy it quite a bit, so it just makes sense that they go ahead with something that's proven itself with audiences. As far as the Inhumans are considered, I mean, look, you could say the same thing about Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'm sure you're glad that movie got made, right? I mean,
true.
You don't know how cool it would be. And also, I like Black... the concept of Black... The idea of Black Bolt screaming at Thanos in a cinematic situation seems freaking amazing.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's not going to happen, because they're saving Thanos for the Avengers Infinity Gauntlet movie.
Yeah, and I noticed that because of their schedule. I mean, yeah. there was a time there I thought the Inhumans would be involved in the Infinity War, but they're not, because the movie's was originally supposed to come out after the second installment. Mm. So but still, I feel like it could be, the Inhumans have this kind of dark mythic quality that just to the characters that I think will, you know, allow a stylistic director to come in and kind of make his mark and fill the gap left behind by the X-Men, because let's face it, there's no X-Men.
And I'm sure there's an X-Men Days of Future Past. There's an X-Men Age of Apocalypse movie coming out.
Right, no, but I'm talking about in the...
in the Marvel house?
The Marvel, yeah. Ah. As far as, like, teaming up or crisscrossing these characters. I mean, there's a little bit of talk about, you know, Hugh Jackman showing up in an Avengers movie, but there's nothing sealed on that. And we all know that Fox doesn't like to share. And ultimately, I think Fox is just going to continue with the policies they have. So you don't have any X-Men. Why not bring the Inhumans in to fill that void? I mean, if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've been watching it, mm-hmm. and the inclusion of the Inhumans has made the show better, because now it's really is like it's becoming more and more a show about superpowers, and how S.H.I.E.L.D., these regular people, kind of deal with them. It just feels more like it belongs in the general Marvel, you know, screen verse, I guess we'll call it, you know, if we're talking about the films and the TV shows. And then you have this divide because that Perlmutter guy, which I don't know how much you've heard about that guy. If you read up on him, you'll be just astounded as to how a guy like this can even function as a CEO in any capacity. Well, I mean, he's a sociopath. He's got a laundry list of just strange behavior, and he's just very, he's just kind of an asshole, guys. It's just.
Well, those are the guys who always end up in charge.
I don't know, man. All I gotta say is, Inhumans, I personally think are cool. I realize that they're, you know, a B-side heroes or whatever, or very obscure, but not to a lot of us comic fans that have been reading this stuff. I mean, especially if you read a lot of like Fantastic Four or other books where the Inhumans would show up fairly regularly.
Well, maybe the Avengers 3 will like kick off a sort of rebirth or expansion of the Inhumans. Right. And that's why it's coming afterwards.
And this will probably go into like the Marvel, because they're going to be phasing out some of the more veteran actors here. They're going to start replacing them with new characters. And you're going to get stuff like the new Avengers. You're going to get a lot of younger Avengers. Captain Marvel's going to probably be cast fairly young so she can continue on. I mean, this is all conjecture, obviously, but I'm just going by what I've seen Marvel do so far.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're crossing their fingers that they'll have the like the X-Men back in the Marvel Cinematic by then.
They won't ever get their hands on the X-Men. Fox is doing well enough with the X-Men that they could hold on to them indefinitely.
Yeah, they're making enough money. I mean, they're not making Avengers money, but they're making enough. They give a director $150 million to make an X-Men movie. They know they're going to make $300 million back or so. And then with DVDs, they know it's going to turn over a profit. They'll never give it up. And I think the success of the X-Men, or why they're not going to get rid of the Fantastic Four, because I think they can just keep plugging away enough. Because they seem to have cracked the X-Men code. They're going to keep trying on the Fantastic Four.
Right on. Wow, there's really some stuff going on over there in Toronto. Pause.
Unfortunately, I live very close to a fire hall.
Oh, okay. Is that why the rent's kind of low?
I wish.
Oh, okay. You should tell them that. All right, cat's out of the bag. Obviously, we're not in front of a live studio audience.
What? We're not?
No.
Who are these people right in my now? House?
Well, I mean, there's people in my house. I have an audience, but you guys don't. Anyway, let's go on to the first game show segment. This is what people want. This is, you know what? I haven't come, at the moment, we're just going to call it
If Memory Serves.
Is it like from a TV, are we talking TV, movie? What are we doing? I'm confused.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm about to explain the rules and everything.
All right, cool.
So I have with me 10, count them, 10 samples from movies. That's right. Just film movies. And you guys are going to listen to each clip, and you will have 10 seconds to tell me what that movie is. Now, here's the thing. If you don't get the answer correct, your opponent can steal.
Okay.
And so when you get it correct, you'll hear, you will hear this. And you will have won 100 Mr. TV bucks. If your opponent steals and gets it correct, he will win 50 Mr. TV bucks. But remember, you have 10 seconds to answer the question, or in this case, to guess the clip correctly. So tell me what movie it is from. So let's see if we can get a little competition going in you.
Sweet. I'm ready.
Yeah, bring it.
I am thinking of a number, and whoever gets closest to that number gets to go first. So I have one in my mind. And, Dwayne, what is my number?
6.
Pause, man. What is your guess?
5.
The number is 9. Dwayne goes first.
All right. Cool. No pressure.
So, I'm going to play the first clip, and then I will start the timer. Don't answer until it starts. Let's hope you get it right, all right?
All right. Let's do this.
First one is...
Oh, who the fuck are you? I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
And?
Oh. I have no clue. I assume it's a mob-related movie of some kind.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
I buckled in the lights, dear, that I froze.
All right, you lost out on 100 Mr. TV bucks, and it looks like Pause can steal. So I'm going to start the timer. Do you want it? And you get to hear it again, Pause. So,
no, I got it.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
All right. why don't you just? I don't even have to start this buzzer, do I?
Nope.
Okay. What do you got?
The Departed.
Ha ha! Yes, that's 100 TV bucks for you on the board. That's all right, Dwayne. It happens. Let's go on to Pause. This is for 100 Mr. TV bucks. This is the second sample. What is this clip?
60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
And?
Is it The Specialist?
That is incorrect. Pause. You can throw out multiple, and if you're right, I'll let you know if you're right.
Oh, okay.
You can throw out multiple answers.
Groovy.
So now you've given Dwayne a chance to take it for 50 Mr. TV bucks. Dwayne, you want to hear it again?
No, I think I know what it is.
Oh, excellent. What do you got?
It's from Anchorman.
Each of you have 50 on the board.
All right, cool.
Exciting.
Tension, I feel it.
All right, Dwayne, back to you. And this is going to be for 100. Let's hear what this is.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Oh, well, my brother quotes that movie all the time. It's one of the Adam Sandler ones. Billy Madison.
Yeah.
All right. Jeez. I hate his movies, but I'm glad I remembered that.
That quote, though, makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It's so funny. I award you no points.
We're all dumber from here.
All right. That's 100, Mr. TV Bucks. You're at 150, Dwayne. Here's your chance to tie it up again. Pause. This will be the fourth sample, the fourth clip. What is it?
Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts.
And
it's the Great Dictator.
Wow, tying it up. Very nice. That's gone way, way back.
I had no idea. I'm glad he got that.
Charlie Chaplin playing a version of Hitler, but not.
Okay, I'm definitely going to look that movie up. That sounds interesting.
It's the movie that made Hitler very, very upset. Cool. And it's got some history behind it.
Groovy.
Yeah, it's a... It's one of those movies, kind of like, you know, like The Interview. Really pissed off North Korea, but, you know, obviously it was a much better movie. In any case, very good pause. Very good. Dwayne, you get another shot at 100 Mr. TV Bucks with the fifth clip. Here it is.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Gangs of New York. Oh yeah. Oh no, is that old? No, old something. No Country for Old Men.
Oh man, you were on the right track. But I can't tell you what it is yet because pause, and I'm sure pause.
Oh, he knows it.
He totally knows it. What do you got for 50, Mr. TV Bucks? There, pause.
I believe it's P.T. Anderson's "There Will Be Blood."
That is correct. Damn 50.
It. All those movies blur together in my head. Damn it.
So you must be at 200 then, pause.
Yeah, you should be 50 ahead of me.
Yeah, so 200. Okay. And pause, now you get to tack 100 onto that by listening to this next clip. And I believe this is kind of an easy one, so let's see what happens.
I gotta put her in the water.
Please, don't do this. We have time. We can work it out.
Right now, I'm in the middle of nowhere. If I wait any longer, a lot of people are going to die.
Captain America, the First Avenger?
Oh, yeah. A very sad scene. It's hard for people to forget. Steve wanted one last dance.
Not a dry eye in the theater.
Actually, he wanted the first dance. He didn't even get that dance.
That's right.
He didn't know how to dance. And then Agent Carter was like, I'll teach you. pause. That puts you at 300, sir. 300, Mr. TV Bucks. Dwayne has a chance to give us 100 here. And I honestly don't know what's coming up. Let's see what this one is.
Imagine an endless supply of food, clean air, water. Mm. And what are we stuck with? This... pit hole, germs everywhere, fungus. 65 million years. We've been exiled here after the meteorite struck. while mammals roam free in the other dimension.
A movie that was robbed by the Oscars, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yes. I had a little trouble.
Dennis Hopper as Bowser right there with a great monologue.
It is a terrible monologue. Every one of his monologues in that is just so...
There's no redeeming quality in that movie. Come on.
So shabbily written. I
proudly own that DVD.
I've watched it. I watch it every now and again because it's a fascinating disaster.
I just think back to how excited I was as a kid when that movie came out.
Oh, me too.
Confused and disappointed I was walking out of that theater.
Well, that means he's creeping up on you. He's 50 behind you again with 250. So this next one's going to be all you, sir. Are you ready?
Actually, I think I got two in a row. Didn't I? Because I got The Great Dictator, and then I got the next one.
Oh, so are you at 350 then?
I mean, I think it's Dwayne's turn because I got two in a row.
How'd you get two in a row?
No. You stole one.
You stole one from me.
Gave it
to you.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. You stole it. Then it was your turn. Now it's my turn. Now it's your turn.
So it is Pause's turn.
Yeah, it's Pause's turn. That's correct.
All right. So, Pause, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here you go.
You had plenty of money in 1922. Some other man.
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah!
Another great Bob Hoskins movie.
Jessica Rabbit's introduction to the world. Good times, good stuff. I was just getting to that age where she was pretty mesmerizing.
She made you feel funny in your pants, huh, Doc?
Exactly. And I'm not the only one with that story. But, all right. Well, look at that, Pause. That thrusts you forth into the 400 Mr. TV Bucks range. Dwayne, bring it in close within another 50 with this little number.
So, what can I get you?
Is there anywhere you don't work?
They're called jobs, something a f-ball like you wouldn't know anything about. And by the way, I can't believe you asked Ramona out after I specifically told you not to do that.
How are you doing that with your mouth?
Oh, shit. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah! Very good. I was hoping you would know that one.
I saw the movie once. I read all the comic books. I heard Ramona. It kicked in my head.
Okay, I love that scene, too, because her mouth is getting all censored.
Yeah.
He's like, how are you doing that with your mouth? She's like, never fucking mind.
An underappreciated flick.
I love it so much. It was filmed in Toronto. It was filmed right there, Pause.
Yeah, including around my high school, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think Knives, when she comes out of the high school, that's my high school.
Very cool. We are at the 10th and final clip. And this falls to you, Pause.
All right.
Which means
I'm a little nervous.
You can be at 5. This is like you're at a streak here, and you could be at 500 Mr. TV Bucks. That's no joke, because that money is worth way more than the American dollar.
Okay, drinks on me tonight, guys.
Sweet.
So here it is, the final clip. What is it?
I created the event horizon to reach the stars. But she's gone much, much farther than that.
Event horizon? I don't know if that's really fair, but...
So here's the thing. That was my attempt at a trick sample. So that it would be so obvious that it was Event Horizon that the only way you wouldn't know that it was Event Horizon is if you hadn't seen or heard of that movie. So I pretty much gave 100 Mr. TV bucks to the lucky recipient of that sample.
Yeah, making it rain.
I tell you, I'm getting a little uncomfortable with your blatant Canadian bias here.
Well, you have a chance. You have a chance in this next segment. This is the one you guys prepared for. That closes up.
If memory serves.
This one's called Five Champions.
We are the champions. We are the champions. Lucha for losers. We are the champions of the world.
Oh, sing it, Freddy. Sing it. This segment is going to be lots of fun because what I had you guys do beforehand is provide me a list numbered 1 through 5 of non-powered action heroes. That's right. Action heroes from movies that do not have any kind of special power. They're normal men, but, well, not normal, obviously. They can still kick ass. But both of you handed me those lists, and I'm going to pit 1 against 1, 2 against 2, etc. Now, the rules are as such, and I don't know if it'll apply here because I think you guys chose a bunch of different stuff. But if it turns out that you guys have if you had picked the same guy, as long as they're fighting a different guy, then that's fine. If it's both the same guy, we'll just simply switch whatever the following champion is with that champion, if you get my drift.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you each are going to have 1 minute. That's right, 1 minute, and I have my stopwatch here. After each, as soon as I present the first champion, argue as to why he would win in a fight. But we get to know who he's fighting. Obviously, that's very important. So on this list, these lists that you gave me, we have Lee from Enter the Dragon versus Brian, and that's your champion, Dwayne. Versus Pause Man's champion, Brian Mills from Taken. That would be Liam Neeson, the guy with the daughter who gets taken.
I thought it was Liam Nielsen.
It's who said that before? That wasn't me.
JD Newsworthy.
JD Newsworthy.
That was hilarious. That was on the previous episode, listeners. You can go ahead and check that out. JD Newsworthy, we love him to death, but he did not do very well in that first episode. But he has plenty of time to put a little bit of effort in and gain some more Mr. TV bucks. But in any case, so we have Lee, and we don't have to explain who Lee is. From Enter the Dragon, it's pretty obvious who that is.
I assume everyone knows.
So I guess we'll start with you, Dwayne. And I'm going to have you on the clock here. And when your time is up, you will hear this noise.
Okay.
So just listen out for that noise and stop talking when you hear it.
All right.
So why would Lee beat Mr. Nielsen?
Because one, Liam Nielsen's, he's 60 years old, and Lee from the Dragon, he's in his prime, he's in his mid-20s, because we all know he dies at 28 or whatever, and just the hand-to-hand skills this guy has is ridiculous. You watch that movie, he takes on 452 karate guys at the same time, and all he has is two little pieces of wood with a chain in between them, and he kicks all their asses. And even better, he supplies his own sound effects. I don't think Liam Neeson even knows how to do sound effects, so I get bonus points right there. So he's kicking ass, 500 guys at once. Liam Neeson is all grabbing, all got a certain set of skills. Lee's got one set of skills, and that's to kick ass. And he's going to kick ass no matter who he faces. So Liam Neeson, I love him, but he's going down. Kaboom. Done.
Okay, I'll end that early because you did pretty well there. You had some 15 seconds to spare.
I could have done a victory lap if you needed me to, but I think I'm okay.
Pause. You're not very much. You're very relaxed. You're not much of a motor mouth, but so you try to get as many points out as possible. I'll put it on the clock here and tell me, and I'll be fair. It's the character Brian Mills. Why is he going to beat Bruce Lee from Enter the Dragon? Go.
Well, I'd say there's no force as powerful as a father whose innocent 17-year-old daughter has her virginity threatened by some old, ugly human trafficker, and he just laid waste to, I guess, all of Paris. And in order to save his daughter, he has zero Ruth. He's completely Ruth-free. He's ruthless. If there was like a label, like GMO-free, he'd be like Ruth-free. He doesn't matter. He'll like shoot some guy's wife to get the right information. He'll cross every line to kick ass. He is skilled in hand-to-hand combat, any weapons, and he has the resources of his ex-wife's new husband. So he has a lot of wealth, a lot of power, and there's nothing he can't do. He would just ruin Lee, like nobody's business.
Okay. So maybe there's something that I didn't quite know about, and maybe it was in a sequel that Liam Neeson's living off of his fiance's new husband's money.
Well, that was in the first one. He got the private jet.
Yeah, he pays for everything to go save the girl.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've seen that one. All right, listen. I mean, both very solid arguments. The thing that kind of comes to my mind is that, and, you know, and I've seen a lot of Bruce Lee movies, there's usually never any guns involved, and Mills would probably have no problem bringing a gun to a fist fight, and probably just shooting Lee dead. I mean, I don't know if Lee, how he can take down like 20 some guys, but usually, you know, they don't have deadly projectile weapons on them. So you're
telling me Lee's going to go out like that sword guy from Indiana Jones? You can't honestly be telling me that right now.
This is
Lee from Enter the Dragon. Come on, it's not some jackass in the desert with some swords.
I realize that, but, you know, people are a lot more honorable in Bruce Lee movies. They always fight fair. And, I mean, in the sense that they don't have overpowered weapons or anything like that, where I feel like Mills is so cold-hearted. Look, if we're being honest, I would root for Bruce Lee. But I'm going to give it to Paws.
Ooh.
Canadian bias rares.
Now, each one of these is worth 200 Mr. TV bucks.
Wow.
So that brings Paws up to the 700 zone. And Dwayne, you have a chance. You have a chance here.
I feel a streak coming on for me.
Okay, so the next pair up is Major Alan Schaefer from Predator versus John Matrix from Commando.
That's awesome.
Oh, boy.
Wasn't he basically playing the same character in both movies? Great. So whatever one of us says, just play it back for the other one.
No, this is, well, listen, you guys have to, you need to think about how your version or your character is different, you know, or better than the other one. So make sure you talk about why he specifically is better than the other and for a particular reason. But it's back to you, Dwayne. And, of course, you get a minute on the clock starting right now.
Okay, Major Alan Schaefer has to win this fight because I don't even remember what the hell Commando was about. But we all know what Predator was about. It was a man in the goddamn jungle fighting a goddamn predator, an alien bounty hunter. All right? Had limited weapons. Guy covers himself with mud, fighting an alien with goddamn sticks and simple traps and shit. And he fights a predator with no weapons, with just his massive steroid-filled muscles and his limited Austrian brain. And somehow figures out how to beat an alien bounty who just wipes out everybody. Who in the comic books has fought Batman and Superman and stuff. So Batman fights him and friggin' Schaefer fights him. So Schaefer's as good as Batman. And Batman always wins. So I'm going to use the Batman defense, Your Honor, and I rest my case. Batman for the win.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there.
Sorry, I talk too fast. I'm all over the place.
Okay, yeah, little racist towards Austrians, but I get your point.
Well, not all Austrians, his personal limited Austrian.
Okay,
brand.
Okay.
I love Austrians, beautiful people, other than, like, Hitler. Other than that, they're cool.
Well, I guess that means Pawsman gets to defend John Matrix, and by the way, Is that really his last name?
That's the name of the movie, yeah.
Matrix, and it's spelled like Matrix.
Yeah.
That's...
That's amazing.
That's, yeah.
That's the word you're looking for, amazing.
It's pretty funny. So John Matrix from Commando, we'll start you on the clock here, and pause, go.
Well, this is another guy who will stop at nothing because he's enraged. His daughter was captured, and I think he took out like a whole Latin American country full of mercenaries. He also can eat green berets for breakfast. He, when he tells you that he'll kill you last, he's lying, so don't believe him. And he can smell you coming. So even if you know the other guy had that cloaking device that the Predator had, like it doesn't matter. He'll break into a gun store, get all the guns, and just lay waste to a small country or whatever the theater happens to be. And he'll even if he's injured, he'll keep going. He loves blood. And he'll crack some one-liners as he's breaking the other guy's neck. So, yeah, it's no contest, really.
He loves blood. Did not know that about him. okay, well, you know what? I listened to both those arguments, and as you would expect me to. And, you know, I gotta say... Arnie versus the Predator, he took on more of a difficult adversary. I mean, I recall the villain in Commando, and that guy was just a bit screwy.
One of the villains from Commando is the dad from Clueless, okay? So, I'm just saying, the dad from Clueless versus a Predator. I'm just going to put that on the table.
And you did use the Batman defense, which normally I would shrug that off, but Batman did also defeat the Predator. In a very cool Batman v Predator trade that I have had for quite a few years, and I don't know, I gotta lean towards. I mean, look, it's the Predator, and this dude didn't have any powers, and he managed to get the Predator to blow himself up. So it's going to Dwayne.
If Matrix would hear, he would say this stinks.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Alyssa Milano play his daughter?
Yep.
That's right.
I'm just hoping that the next guy that Pa suggests doesn't have a daughter that was kidnapped. There's like two in a row. He has a theme for his heroes.
This next team up is amazing. Or I'm sorry, it's not a team up. these ladies are going to be kicking each other's ass. But this is great. Ellen Ripley... That's your champion, Dwayne, versus Paw's Man's Sarah Connor.
Wow.
Okay. From Terminator. Okay. Wow. I'm very interested to hear what you guys have for this. I might as well let you start here, Dwayne. Go. All
right. Ellen Ripley wakes from a cryogenic slumber and has to fight down one of the most badass things out there, a freaking alien. Just like Arnold had to fight an alien, we got Ellen Ripley fighting wall-crawling, squirvy, this infestation, like cockroaches that will eat your freaking face off, aliens crawling a ship. People are dying left and right, and she keeps her head about her, no superpowers, and she's not a spring chicken in this movie. She's a little still. She's on the far end of 20, so she's a little bit older, and she still holds her own. She straps herself in a cargo loader and goes mono-e-mono, or womano-e-alien-o, versus the queen alien, boxing that thing in a friggin' cargo-loading suit. She pulls out weapons, she pulls everything out of her ass, and she saves the day. And there's like three sequels to her movie. And how many of our heroes here have multiple sequels?
All right. all right. Well, I mean, Ellen Ripley, a personal favorite. She's my favorite female character in movies of all time, but let's see. Paws may have a good argument here with Sarah Connor, and I will put you on the clock and go.
Well, Sarah Connor, she's just a total warrior. She trains like constantly, even when she's in jail. She's doing pull-ups. She was the first to destroy a Terminator. She has the kind of arsenal that would make Charlton Heston blush. She's just fired up like the two previous men on my list because her son, her child, is in danger, and that just drives her to like a whole new level of frenzy that Ellen Ripley just can't match. She can fight with a nightclub and break every bone in your body. She can fight with any type of small arms. She's got rocket launchers down in her little arsenal, and she teams up with she can team up with a Terminator, with other men, with she's just a military genius.
Well, okay, so Ellen Ripley versus Sarah Connor. I have to say that you know, Ellen Ripley did go against very dangerous, deadly creatures, and went through a great amount of turmoil and stress, which basically went through like three climaxes in one movie. so she's tough. She's got endurance, just, you know, amazing all around, and she's got maternal instincts. But when it comes to sheer viciousness, muscle, military training and prowess, and just take no prisoners, attack first, ask questions later, Sarah Connor in a fight one-on-one with Ellen Ripley, who simply isn't a, she isn't intrinsically a violent person, I'm giving this to Paws Man, Sarah Connor.
No fate but what you make.
So that brings you to 900 Mr. TV bucks. You're doing well, Paws. But I mean, Dwayne can still catch up here. There's a couple left, a couple more champions. Let's see what those are. All right, we now have John Rambo. We all know who Rambo is, obviously. Sylvester Stallone. He's going to be going up against, oh, very interesting, Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. Now, I guess that is technically a good pick because there's nothing particularly super powered about Snake Eyes, although it seems like he has some augmented abilities. Let's let Dwayne explain to us why Rambo is going to be able to take down Snake Eyes. Go ahead.
I mean, off the surface, they're both, you can't understand either one of them when they talk, so they're equal there. But Rambo has the advantage that he spends most of his movie with an oiled up chest that's ripped. And I mean, he should win there alone because he's muscular. He's out there shooting people, screaming things that you can't understand, bows and arrows, shooting people in the face from a distance. He's just a one-man, ass-kicking force in the jungle. He's not clean. He's messy. He doesn't mind blowing shit up. He's not about finesse. He's about brute physical strength and explosions. Snake Eyes is all about the flipping and the ninja swords. He would get blown up 17 times from Sunday before he even got close enough to use one of his little ninja swords on John Rambo. He'd be plucked apart by the crossbow, no questions asked, or a longbow, really. So Rambo wins just because the sheer amount of weapons he likes to use, and he's oiled up and muscular. Because who doesn't love that?
Okay, oiled up. That's important.
It for an action hero in the 80s and 90s, that was very key to being successful.
It's, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right, considering. All right, well, this shifts it to you, Paws. You got Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. Tell us why he is better.
Well, like the jerk in your office who's always, you know, crop dusting, he is silent but deadly. You won't see him coming. Rambo, like, he'll get Rambo before he even knows what's going on. He is an expert in all NATO and Warsaw Pact small arms. He's also got crazy ninja abilities. He quickly became the most accomplished ninja in the whole Arashnikaji clan. He even cleans all the guns for the G.I. Joe team, and he's got a huge collection of spiked knuckle knives. Even one of those, he can just use one knife, and Rambo's toast. So, yeah, it's no contest. Snake Eyes is just going to make mincemeat out of this guy, and yeah, send him back to Nam in a body bag.
Okay. Send him back to Nam.
Because that's when he dies, he'd go back to Nam. That's where they'd send his dead body.
Here's what I want to know. How do you know that Snake Eyes cleans everyone's guns?
It was in, I think, G.I. Joe number one. Like, Snake Eyes is like, cleaning all the guns, and then someone's like, "Why does Snake Eyes do that?" He's like, "He doesn't want your gun to jam if you're covering him."
So, that's pretty cool. I'll give you points on that one. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. You guys both made good arguments. I have to say, you know, Snake Eyes does have, he is a master of stealth. And, you know, Rambo's done some stealthy stuff as well. He's, you know, maybe put some war marks on his, war paint on his face and hidden behind some bushes or whatever. But Snake Eyes brings stealth to a whole new level. And I'm wondering if Snake Eyes wouldn't just get into a position where he could throw one of his daggers into Rambo's neck before Rambo even finds his target. And I feel like, you know,
the muscularness of his neck would reflect that knife. You know that.
Well, I mean, look,
grasping at straws.
He's extremely muscular.
For all the grease.
Exactly. That's why he's oiled up. Things just slide right up.
And, you know, I have to say, you know, Rambo could probably take out John Matrix, but that would probably be an even harder fight to call. I'm sorry, I gotta give this one to Paws.
Goddamn ninjas.
Which, you know, brings him up to a whopping 1,100 Mr. TV bucks.
Oof.
Woo!
Man, you can get that inflatable alien in the gift shop. I'm impressed.
Alright, look, we've got one left to go. And we'll see what this one's all about. Okay, here we go. This one's interesting. Inspector Lee from Rush Hour. That'd be
Detective Inspector Lee.
Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, the guy who can wriggle out of any situation. And then against Frank Underwood from House of Cards. the elderly statesman who plays people like puppets.
Is he really an action hero?
well, we're about to find out as Paws tries to explain that to us. But first, Dwayne, you get a chance to tell us why Inspector Lee has the advantage against Frank Underwood. And go.
Okay, other than he's fighting a 60-year-old senator, but okay. Detective Inspector Lee is, like we said, he can get out of any situation. Nothing stops him. He is flexible. No matter what you throw at him, he'll find a way through a wall, through a window, hanging off a helicopter, doing crazy ass karate moves. Nothing stops him. Everything's a weapon. He'll use it. He'll use a ladder, a stick, a mop, a broom, an umbrella, a small child if he has to as a weapon. Anything you put in his hands is a weapon. Nothing can stop him. He'll dodge. You can hit him 27 times. He'll get back up. He's like Rocky Balboa. And this Frank Underwood guy has no fighting skills, unless he's breaking off the Secret Service on us, which I assume is illegal in this one-on-one fight. I'm pretty sure. Detective Inspector Lee, a man of high character who cannot be bought by Frank Underwood, by the way, before Paws even goes there, would not be bought by Frank Underwood. So Lee wins just because he's badass.
All right. Well, there you go, Paws. Tell us why Frank Underwood would bring it in a fight, and go.
Frank Underwood is here to win. He knows everybody's passion, he knows everybody's weakness, and he'll use it against him. He'll charm anyone. He's got an IQ 200, 250 maybe, and he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's killed. He'll charm you, you'll think you're safe, and then blammo, you're dead in a garage, or maybe pushed in front of a subway. Who knows? But Frank Underwood, he's got the resources of the United States government. He is the president. And you just don't stand a chance against
spoilers.
That kind of power.
Spoilers. I haven't seen the last season.
All right. Should I call it?
Okay. I would have done a Jackie Chan impersonation, but it would have been clearly racist, so I didn't.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I didn't go there, so.
But you can do the voice of a racist, a southern racist.
Yeah, you can be a southern racist, that's fine.
Okay, well, well played, Paws. You know, Frank Underwood, he's got the resources, he's got a high IQ and all that rot. But I have to say, you know, if you put him in a room, And let's say, like, you know, like shop class, lock him in shop class with Detective Inspector Lee. You know that Jackie Chan is just going to use every damn thing in there. He doesn't even have to. He would have Frank Underwood down in minutes. And Frank Underwood doesn't get help, by the way. He doesn't get Secret Service guys. He doesn't get to prepare for this fight. That wouldn't be fair.
Not even on his rowing machine?
No,
not even practicing on Call of Duty?
He does have mad Call of Duty skills.
Call of Duty skills, and if that was the premise of the fight, then he obviously would win. But this one is going to Dwayne Feenstra, bumping up his score to 750 Mr. TV bucks. But that ends our segment, Five Champions. Your winner is Paws.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions of the world.
I feel like I let down my country. I'm sorry, Americans.
And I was actually struggling to stop another sample from coming in, so that's what that noise was. Anyway, these are all kinks we're working out. But that was a very fine second episode because of you gentlemen. We're going to actually have to go right to our goodbyes. So this next segment, it's not a segment really, we're just going to let you guys talk a little bit about what you have going on and plug it.
Everyone in this room is...
Sorry.
Wait, I wanted to hear that one.
Okay. Whoops, I can't find my... Alright, plug. Plug away.
Okay.
Go for it, man.
Alright. Before I say anything, I just want to thank Paws Man for being a great competitor. This was very fun. I'm glad he was on with me. Couldn't imagine doing this with anybody else. I'm glad you were here, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
For me, if you want to find more of me, check me out at Dwayne Feenstra. My book, Arrow Girl, the trade paperback, is in stores now. Go to your local LCS, ask for it, it's there. If you go to Comixology, you actually get the book with an additional eight pages that don't show up in print, backup stories that we did that tell a little bit of what Jack was doing in between issues and introduces our Sorcerer Supreme, Dirk Manning, to our universe as well in another story. That's a great place to go. If you want to hear me talk more on a podcast, I'm on the Final Issue podcast. It comes out weekly-ish, depending on our schedules. It's a roundtable talk. We cover issues in comic and geek culture. Check me out. It's all to you, Paws.
Ah, there you go. Paws, what do you got?
Yeah, I want to thank Dwayne for running a clean fight and Doc Flux for putting it all together. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely was a blast.
And You can find me on stuff like that. We haven't done a new episode in a while, but if you go to stuff like that on Facebook, facebook.com/stufflikethatpodcast, you can find everything. And we're on the Outhousers. And I want to plug my friends at superpodcaster.com, Juan Dejo and the gang.
Aww. Juan Dejo said he's not going to be guesting on anyone's show for a while. Because he doesn't want to make other people feel bad for not going on their show. But he's gonna get the fever for the flavor for some Mr. TV bucks, I'm sure.
especially now that I'm the reigning champion, Zach's gonna have to challenge me.
You guys need to face each other for sure. But Dwayne, you did a really good job too.
Thank you. It was definitely fun. I had a blast. I need to watch more movies. I see. There's a lot of stuff I was drawing blanks on.
Yeah, you held your own, you did bring a pretty good A game. So I mean, both of you, thanks for making this a successful episode. Definitely invite you on to compete again, although you may be going against someone else. Cool. But that's the fun of this, and hopefully I can get more people involved, and this grows into a fun thing for all podcasters to get involved in.
Definitely. Anybody who listens to this, if you're a podcaster, hit up Doc Flux. This is definitely a fun time.
This is, calling all podcasters. If you are from a comedy or a geek podcast show and you want to come on and win some of these delicious bucks, then I invite you personally. And so does Mr. Television Face, the alien entity. He's the producer.
He's the all-seeing alien entity of Bubba Saw.
Right. So anyway, that's everything I got. I almost plugged Feed of Comics, but then I realized that show was over. So yeah, MrTVFace.com. Stick around, because guess what? This is what's happening. Doc Flux is going to see an advanced screening of Crimson Peak, along with his puppet friend, Rigger, who's the zombies that's going to be reviewing said movie on his YouTube channel before many other people even get to see the darn thing. I personally can't wait to check that out, and I'm a huge Guillermo del Toro fan, so... I'm actually on a special guest list where I can skip the line and
awesome.
Just be like, yeah, I'm on the list, and then walk in and sit down.
Very cool.
There is some perks to being a Twitter personality, guys.
Nice.
There you go.
That's how I got contact.
Hashtag VIP.
What's that?
Hashtag VIP.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. There you go. That's what we got coming up. The YouTube channel, obviously. Subscribe to it if you haven't, so you know when those things drop. But otherwise, listen into this show. Tune in for the next Mr. TV Face.
Go to your local clam market. Go. Go to your local clam market and dive in today.